topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you don't believe at this moment and you think you're heading for something nice at the end of your life, maybe you need to rethink. If you want to be in heaven for eternity, you need to believe now. He has also said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me they can be trusted in this life. So if you're a believer, you might like to think about that. If you have an expectation of a nice place in heaven after you die, and you're not doing anything about it, and you're not working towards it in this life, you're in for a nasty surprise. This program will tell you, wherever you are at this stage, this program is intended to help you to come close to the Almighty. Today's program is a continuation of the last two broadcasts. Where will you spend eternity? Part 3. In this context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Overview of tonight's program, Where Will You Spend Eternity, Part 3. We will see that it is possible to overcome and that there are many rewards for overcoming. We will look at the ranks in heaven in the context of how we live our lives on earth. We will see that it is necessary to live differently, act differently, believe differently, pray differently, and embark on radical change. We will look at indicators with regard to pleasing the Almighty. Particularly, we will look at emunah, what you may know as faith. Faith is a word that has got a lot of pagan connotations. Emunah is the Hebrew word, which is a much richer and more embracing term for what you may know as faith. We will see that it is necessary to pay a price to gain the rewards of the kingdom of Yah, Yah being the true name of the Almighty Creator, who you may know as the Lord and God. Just to revisit what I said a few minutes ago, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I've been a strategic management consultant for much of my life and currently a business executive. I have 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke audibly to me in a locked room. And I realized that my life was a mess and I was going in the wrong direction. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle I use for delivering my message through email articles, through websites, through this radio program, and shortly physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. There is nothing more important than forming a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. See my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. If they're not in heaven, where are they? Referring to unbelievers. Well, unbelievers, basically, as I've explained a few times, if you're an unbeliever, you don't go to heaven, you stay on earth. So you die and you remain attached to your corpse. You can then get dislodged and transferred from your corpse onto other human beings or animals, or else you just stay where your corpse are and you sit there while it rots and you stay there forever after it's rotted. Not a particularly nice place to be. Is there a hell? Absolutely. Hell is a place for correcting and disciplining believers. Unbelievers do not go to hell, despite what many people preach. If you're a believer and you die with unconfessed sin, you will go to hell to pay the price for your unconfessed sin. It's simple to pray in the name of Yeshua and seek forgiveness for your sin, but you must confess your sin, repent of your sin, turn around and claim the covenant of Yeshua to be forgiven your sin. If you do that, your sin is washed away. If you do not do that, Yeshua, Jesus, died a terrible death in order to provide you with a way of repenting of your sin. So there is absolutely no forgiveness there. You will go to hell and you will be tortured for a period of time commensurate with the extent of your sin. Question number three, this pit you spoke of, is it hell? This is now the pit that Satan is in at the moment. No, it's definitely not hell. It's a separate place somewhere where Satan is currently confined. It's a place of detention. It's also referred to as the abyss. Why would a person think that way? I'm not entirely sure what that question relates to be quite honest. I think there was a lot of talk about wrong thinking in last week's broadcast. Question number five, what is the Bible anyway? The Bible is a reliable history book, no more than that. It contains accounts of the lives of many anointed people. It's a useful resource to study the history of believers over many, many years. It is not the Word of God. It is not infallible. It is not a magic thing, and it is sin to worship the Bible. Why is that a sinful job? I assume this is regard to a comment I made that prostitution, that if you were a believer and you were in prostitution, you needed to find a different way of earning a living. Sexual intercourse with a woman who has become one, in other words, had sexual intercourse with another man, is adultery. It's sin. The penalty for that sin is death. And if you're a woman and you're currently working as a prostitute and you hear this program, then I would urge you to ask Father to help you to find another way of making a living. Go to night school, whatever. Learn some new trade, learn some new skill, but you really need to stop doing prostitution. Is the resistance of these people and the way they speak signs of the devil? I assume this is relating to people who opposed the sort of teaching that I'm giving here. To the extent that a lot of wrong thinking is influenced by demons, yes, I suppose it is a sign of the devil, but a lot of it is just learned responses that are not necessarily demonic at all. How do you know when you need to turn around? Well, frankly, I would suggest that if you are paying attention to what I'm teaching, you will know if you need to turn around. You're either close to Father and you're going somewhere with him, or you need to turn around and get close to Father and go somewhere with him. It's really that simple. Question number 9, if only 8 people were on the boat and they slept with each other to repopulate, it would go to say things are based on incest. Question 10, why is incest not legal in this day if that is what has been taught at least twice in the Bible? Question 11, see, incest was not on the list, it seems. Now, if people really listen to the stories in the Bible, you may rethink how you see things. So there are 3 questions here saying that because there were only 8 people on the Ark of Noah and they were all brothers, that there has to have been incest for children to be born to propagate. They would have at the least have to marry their first cousins, if not marry their brothers and sisters. And the fact of the matter is that incest as such is not a sin. The problem with inbreeding is that it results in genetic anomalies. A disproportionate number of children born out of what we call incest are deformed, disadvantaged, mentally not all there. So incest is prohibited because it leads to the production of weak children. In the context of what I taught last week, somebody challenged me on the definition of fornication, so let me just clarify. Adultery is sexual intercourse with a woman who is already one with another man. In other words, she's had sex with another man. She's not legally divorced. She's not a widow. That's adultery. Adultery is not a man having sex with more than one woman who is eligible to be married. Fornication is consensual sex with multiple instances of adultery. And it is completely forbidden. The word pornography comes from the Greek for fornication, which is porneia. So to continue with the message on where will you spend eternity, it's important to stress that it is possible to overcome. In the context of earning a high throne or even earning a place in heaven, consider the following Bible passages. Revelation 2, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of Yah. Only those who overcome will get to eat of the tree of life. Revelation 2:11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So only those who overcome will not be hurt by the second death, the lake of fire and brimstone. All the rest will. It speaks to what I said earlier about believers going to hell for unconfessed sin. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receiveth it. We may not understand this today, however it is presented as a significant reward and benefit. Continuing, Revelation 2:26-28, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Those who do not overcome shall be ruled with a rod of iron by those who do. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Those who do not overcome will have their names blotted out of the book of life and will not have their names confessed before the Father. That's quite frightening stuff. Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my mighty one, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my mighty one. You might know that as God. And the name of the city of my mighty one, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my mighty one, and I will write upon him my new name. We may not understand this today, however it is presented as a significant reward and benefit. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. So those who overcome will sit with Yeshua on his throne for eternity. That's quite an achievement. It's worth going for. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his mighty one, and he shall be my son. Those who overcome will inherit all things, and the Almighty will be their mighty one, and they shall be sons of the Almighty. This suggests that those who do not overcome may not inherit anything, and the Almighty may not be their mighty one, and they may not be sons of the Almighty. Collectively, these passages about overcomers present a picture of enormous eternal benefit if one overcomes, an enormous loss if one does not overcome. I really want to stress this, folks. To the best of my knowledge, there are very, very few assemblies, be they Christian churches, be they Muslim mosques, be they Jewish synagogues, be they whatever other assembly you may belong to, there are very few that are telling people what I've just read out to you. And this is stuff that doesn't matter really what you hold about the Bible, it's sobering stuff. You need to take it seriously. And I confirm that it's true. So we see that overcomers sit on thrones for eternity. From these passages, it is clear that the overcomers are those who sit on thrones for eternity. Not everyone will overcome in every area, and this will result in a further distribution of the continuum within heaven. Some of what is reported in the final quest supports this interpretation, although other passages suggest a more rigid approach. There are a number of distinct ranks in heaven, being, first of all, a friend of the Creator, the most senior overcomers, the highest thrones there are. These people have made deep, have had deep personal relationships with Yah while on earth and have made major sacrifices to serve him. Then the next rank is an overcomer, as discussed above, the remaining thrones. Did not have a deep personal relationship, but made major sacrifices. The next level are good and faithful servants. They're not on thrones, but immediately adjacent to the thrones, obedient and faithful in their service to Yah, but no material relationship. Wise stewards, further away from the throne, but still esteemed. These first four categories are all people who were filled with the Spirit of the Almighty at some level. In other words, they were not virgins. If you're a believer, you want to be one of those four categories. That's the absolute minimum as far as I'm concerned. You can still scrape by into heaven, as we'll see in a moment. But if you don't make it to be one of these categories, you will not be esteemed. You will not be recognized. You will not be given authority. You will basically be in the areas which are reserved for people who have not performed. And if you're a high achiever, that's not where you want to be. The next level is adulterous wives. They're filled with the Spirit of Yah, so they're wives, but they worship Yeshua or Jesus, or they worship the Bible, and they're therefore adulterous. They're not going to make it any further into heaven than that category. Behind them, towards the outer reaches of the hall, the foolish virgins, further away from the throne, one step removed from the trash heap of heaven, people who believed at some limited level but were never filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, the vast majority of dedicated church, synagogue, mosque-going people will find themselves here. The outer darkness, far removed from the throne, cannot see the throne. The trash heap of heaven, Yah calls it. All those who at some time made some sort of decision but never made any attempt after that to serve Yah, learn about him, be filled with his Spirit, etc. The people who are the product of the vast majority of outreaches, mission works, altar calls, etc. fall into this category. In fact, the vast majority of mission and evangelistic work is a total waste of time, just diverting people from the outer reaches of the satanic kingdom to the outer reaches of Yah's kingdom. At this point, it seems less important to understand the finer nuances of the law, the Torah, the commandments, the judgment, than to understand the broad principles and to make a choice whether to make a concerted effort to seek to please the Almighty and seek to earn a position on a throne for eternity versus taking some other view of how one chooses to live one's life. It is important to understand that we know so little about the ways of the Almighty in this age that simply deciding to seek a high throne is not enough. If you're listening to this and you're not making a serious effort to draw close to Father, I encourage you to turn around and start doing that right now. So this brings us to the question, are you willing to live differently in order to overcome, in order to be a friend, in order to be a good and faithful servant or a wise steward? One must be willing to pray differently, live differently, act differently, believe differently. One must be willing to embark on radical change and carry it out and live it through to the very last day of one's life. See also the article 7 Components in Drawing Close to Yah on the website for more information towards the bottom of the website menu. Please note, there is no guarantee that anyone can achieve a high throne. But it's there for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, how rich you are, or how poor you are, how well educated you are, how badly educated you are, whether you're black, yellow, white, whatever race, wherever you come from, whatever nation you come from. It is possible for you to earn a high throne. It is possible for you to be a friend. It is possible for you personally to reach the highest ranks in heaven. It's there. It's available for you. All you need to do is make a quality decision and then energetically and deliberately walk out that decision for the rest of your life. And I'm here to help you. I will help you in whatever way I can. There's all my material, the books that I've written, the recordings, the websites, to help you to get close to Father. We can aspire, and if we truly aspire and truly commit ourselves to seeking to please the Almighty in everything, there is a basis to conclude that the probability of at least entering some rank in heaven for eternity will be materially better than if one aims for a lower target. And I would stress to you, it is entirely doable for you to qualify for a senior rank in heaven. What indicators are there about pleasing the Almighty? There are some Bible verses that give indications of individuals who have pleased the Almighty. Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 40 provides quite a lengthy catalogue of people for reference and indicates that emunah, you may know that as faith, is a vital component of pleasing the Almighty. Now emunah is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good report. Through emunah we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yah, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. By emunah Abel offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Yah testifying of his gifts, and it, he being dead yet speaketh, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By emunah, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yah had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased Yah. But without emunah it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Folks, emunah, faith, so important. It is not possible to see the Almighty physically. It is not possible to see the kingdom physically or the thrones. It's been given to a few very privileged people to have visions to be caught up into heaven. And we have to go on their accounts. But it's up to you to exercise emunah, faith, in all of this. Continuing, by Emuna, Noah, being warned of Yah of things not yet as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by Emuna. By Emuna, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By Emuna he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city with half foundations, whose builder and maker is Yah. Through Emuna also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him Emuna faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in Emuna, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say that such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore Yah is not ashamed to be called their Mighty One, for he hath prepared for them a city. By Munah, Abram, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that Yah was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By Emuna, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By Emuna, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By Emuna, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By Emuna, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By Emuna, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By Emuna he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through Emuna he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By Emuna they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By Emuna the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By Emuna the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believeth not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through Emuna subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through Emuna, received not the promise. Yah having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It's really important, folks, to notice that at times all of these people suffered for their Emuna, their faith, and made sacrifices, some more than others. None of them lived according to the standards of the world in which they lived. All of them chose to live differently to those around them, no matter what it cost them. even if they were stoned or sawn apart while alive. There is a reasonable basis to conclude that the people mentioned above, at least at some level, represent overcomers. We may not understand why some names are on this list and others are not. That is not the point. We can learn lessons, and we can learn that service to Yah demands a price in this life. Now, in my experience, it's not necessarily so that you have to go through all of the things just described. If you take note of my teachings on judgment in this life, you will know that if you live a life without sin, you can be spared from many of these things. But you really do need to make the effort to live without sin, and I've given quite a bit of teaching on how you get to that space. If you apply the teachings in the article on seven components of drawing close to the Almighty, you will find a lot on how to deal with it. And I taught on that on this program a couple of months ago, for several months. Here are a few specific cases. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abram believed Yah, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yah. So Abram was called the friend of Yah. So the life of Abram is certainly a frame of reference, even if we may think he missed it a few times, or there are things we do not understand. Genesis 32, verse 28, and he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with Yah and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob had power with the Almighty, another frame of reference, even if there are things we think he may have missed or which we do not understand. It is really important when considering all these people that we remember Romans 14, verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for Yah is able to make him stand. It's really not our place to judge any of these people. I've sat through sermons on a number of occasions where people, preachers, have got up and used passages of the Bible that include the lives of these men I've just mentioned and others like David, and are very critical of those people. And yet these are people that had deep relationships with Father, that the people of their time saw fit to record information about those people in a way that was preserved for posterity. So I would suggest to you that if you're a preacher and you've been critical of Jacob or Abram or a number of the other anointed ones in the Bible, you need to repent and sort your life out, because you might just find yourself in deep trouble with the Almighty when you get before the judgment throne. A few more examples. Exodus 33:11, and Yah the eternally self-existing, you might know him as the Lord, spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. This is a remarkable testimony with regard to the relationship between Moses and the Almighty, that he speaketh to him unto his friend. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, Samuel speaking to Saul and referring to David states, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yah the eternally self-existing, the Lord, hath sought him a man after his own heart. And Yah the eternally self-existing hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Yah the eternally self-existing commanded thee. David is referred to here as a man after the Almighty's own heart, and Saul is rejected after only a few years as king. Again, a useful frame of reference. David is not a man whose life it is wise to condemn or preach against. He may have done some things which we understand to be mistakes. However, there is considerable evidence that the Almighty was well pleased with David. 1 Kings 15 chapter 15, verse 5, confirms this. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of Yah, the eternally self-existing, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Again, I've heard pastors preach really critical messages about David, and suggest for your consideration that that's really not wise. So this brings us to Yahshua, that you may know as Jesus, of whom it is written in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, "For he received from Yah the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Insofar as the Almighty saw fit to say of Yeshua on at least one occasion publicly that he, the Almighty, was well pleased with him, Yeshua, it is clear that study of the life of Yeshua provides a valuable source of information regarding what is required to please the Almighty, and therefore, by extension, what is required to overcome and sit on a high throne for eternity. Colossians 1:18-20 states the following about Yeshua: "And he is the head of the body, the assembly, or church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his stake," you may know that as cross, "by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven." Yeshua is the firstborn from the dead. Yeshua is the example of how a person can overcome in this life in order to triumph, please the Almighty, and sit on the highest throne next to the Almighty for eternity. Yeshua is therefore the example to follow. He's gone before and he's shown us how it can be done. Thus, he is the way. So, folks, if you're going to read the Bible, read it as a useful historical account of the conduct of a variety of anointed believers. If you're going to read the New Testament, the Gospels, as they're called, read them as though you're Yeshua. Yeshua said you can do greater works than he could. So read them as though you are Yeshua and see yourself doing all that he did. The same with all the other anointed ones. That's the use of the Bible. Continuing with indicators about pleasing the Almighty, and Yeshua did this by suffering and dying voluntarily, despite having never committed any sin, as stated in Hebrews 4:15-16. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So Yeshua was tempted in all points like we are, and yet he was able to do so without sinning. In considering this point, it is really important to recognize that Yeshua was a created being, the result of a creative miracle, and he lived life entirely as a human being. The only divinity in Yeshua was the anointing of the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah that came upon Yeshua when Yehuchanan, John, immersed him, Matthew 3:16. And Yeshua, you know him as Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Yeshua also repeatedly went away apart to pray to the Almighty, Mark 6:46, and when he, Yeshua, had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. Clearly, Yeshua is not the Almighty. If he was, he would not need to pray to the Almighty, and he would not have said what he said in Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, "My beloved mighty one, my beloved mighty one, why hast thou forsaken me?" It is therefore possible that we can aspire to live life to the standard that Yeshua set. We may not succeed, however, we can aspire and do our best. After all, Yeshua stated in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." We can do greater works than Yeshua did if we aspire to that, if we are willing to pay the price. We can overcome to the end. We can sit on high thrones for eternity if we're willing to pay the price. Folks, I can't stress this enough. You can live life in whatever comfortable way you may be living it right now, just going about your day, not really paying much attention to the Almighty. And I assure you, you will be grievously, bitterly disappointed the day you die. And that disappointment will be with you for the rest of eternity. Or you can decide right now to change your direction. Put Yah first in your life. Do everything you can find to do. Get on my website, read the articles, put them into practice, pray the prayers, sing the worship songs. Do all the cleansing that I've advocated on this program in the last few months. The teachings are all on the website under radio. Go for it. It's absolutely open to you to sit on a high throne for eternity. There's a huge number of vacancies right now. Don't settle for second best. It's totally available to you. So how do we overcome? What is the price? In order to understand at some basic level what is required to overcome and what the price is, we can consider all the people listed above with particular but not exclusive emphasis on Yeshua. In order to understand this and interpret these experiences, reports, teachings, etc., there's a very important principle set out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 31. For the preaching of the stake, you may know it as the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of Yah. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not Yah made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of Yah, the world by wisdom knew not Yah. It pleased Yah by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach the Anointed One, you might know that as Christ, executed on the stake, crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, the power of Yah, and the wisdom of Yah. Because the foolishness of Yah is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yah is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But Yah hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Yah hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Difficult to grasp at first reading. The fact is that the way things are with Father is not the way things are in the world. And it takes time to get used to that. It gets time to study that. So don't give up on that. And base things of the world, things which are despised, hath Yah chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in the anointing of Yeshua, who of Yah is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in Yah and the eternally self-existing. It is really important to grasp that the Almighty's way of doing things is not the way of the world. If we desire to please the Almighty, it is necessary that we be willing to live life very differently to the way we may have lived it up to now. In fact, it is probably accurate to say that there is no one on earth today who is truly living life the way the Almighty would like them to be living. We know so little of the things of the Almighty today that there is an enormous amount for us to learn. There's a huge amount on my website that will give you a good foundation in just about every area. And there's a huge amount on the internet that if you know where to look and if you are praying for Father to lead you. The key thing is to get close to Father. The key thing is to let him guide you. The key thing is not to worry too much about what's going on in the world around you and devote your time and resources and your energy to seeking to please him, to seeking to become his friend, and seeking to qualify for a high throne for eternity. I assure you, it will be well worth it. So we've seen that it is possible to overcome and that there are many rewards for overcoming. We've looked at the ranks in heaven in the context of how we live our lives on earth. We've seen that it is necessary to live differently, act differently, believe differently, pray differently, and embark on radical change. We've looked at indicators with regard to pleasing the Almighty. Particularly, we have looked at emunah, faith. We've seen that it is necessary to pay a price to gain the rewards of the kingdom of Yah. Folks, I hope that this program has challenged you to think differently about your relationship with the Almighty, to think differently about your priorities in this life. It is so possible for you right now, listening to me tonight, to get much, much closer to Father. It's absolutely achievable. It requires a quality decision, and then it requires some hard slog over the next few years. Put into practice what you can find on the website. Put into practice what He teaches you by His Spirit. And just go for it, folks. It's so doable. He so wants you to be His friend. If you will make the commitment to Him, He will do a whole lot to help you achieve that objective, because that's what He created us for. That's what He created you for, is to be His friend. And if you're not His friend, you've completely missed the point. To sum up, there are five key documents that I advocate for your consideration. They're on the main web menu as web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu, the source of this broadcast. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcast. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and will be physically available soon. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. So to close, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please make the questions as explicit as possible. You would have seen with the questions tonight, there was one that I was not absolutely clear what the question was about. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I would love to do that. It's my passion to help others draw really close to Father. So if that becomes your passion, if that's something that you decide to do, I would really love to hear from you. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I can't stress enough, it does not matter how well educated you are or badly educated you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, whether you come from a good family or a poor family, whether you, what country you come from, what race you are, what the color of your skin is, how tall you are or how short you are, none of that matters. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, wants a deep personal relationship with you. I can't stress it enough. Please don't let this program end without you getting on your knees and saying, Father, I want to be your friend. Help me to be your friend. And then email me or email me off the website or the email address above. I look forward to hearing from you. Good night. Father, I